While we will work closely with the government and business for South Africa's response teams, we are separate and independent from both. But ultimately, our job is to complement the national public efforts of the fight against COVID-19. Governance and transparency are critical to our mandate, as the President made clear. The fund independently registered and governed public benefit company. The funds will be independently administered by Old Mutual. We are finalizing an independent board that combines South Africans of high integrity, skills and experience, and are reflective of the fund's social mobilization mandate. Ernest Young and Edward Nathan have developed a governance framework that will guide the allocation of all funds to ensure effective and efficient use to combat COVID-19. Promote radical transparency. The fund will report and make public all inflows and outflows from the fund and share these with the public on an ongoing basis. We have established an effective war room structure, enabling rapid decision making, supported by a professional team of executives, administrators, and partner service providers, all working on a pro bono basis at this point, motivated by a deep sense of patriotism and a desire to be part of a solution. As we continue to respond to a crisis that is immediate, we appreciate that we may not have all the answers to your questions today, but we do remain committed to open and regular communications to provide updates on the distribution of the funds as well as the resulting impact. I would like now to hand over to Nicola to take you through the immediate priorities in a little more detail. Over to you, Nicola.
Thank you and good morning. Already this week, we have mobilized ourselves even as we complete the process of establishing our operating model and instituting our systems. We've managed to work with agility and already have arranged, as the Solidarity Fund, an immediate working capital facility of 100 million rand to enable the urgent purchase of critically needed personal protective equipment, or PPE, to protect health workers. They are the people on the front line of the COVID pandemic, and we are mobilizing South Africans to support them. It's expected that all this PPE that we've purchased will be used to fill gaps in the supply of the public healthcare system and to support community-level health workers who lack access to PPE. The first 52 million of this facility will be utilized to fund an immediate purchase of a large order, we think 5,000 masks and other protective equipment from reputable manufacturers in China. Also this week, we've mobilized, as the chairperson said, to launch a nationwide solidarity campaign to unite the nation and inspire South Africans and mobilize them to heed the call to stay at home. This multimedia campaign will focus on flattening the curve through a coordinated communication and community-based campaign, reaching and supporting citizens around the country. And it's specifically designed to support the stay-at-home message for the moment, and will be agile and will follow the guidance that we receive on the priorities from the national effort, the guidance we receive from our partners in civil society, and we'll be able to evolve as the campaign proceeds to match the requirements and what we need to mobilize South Africans around. So I think that will give you a feel that in the very short time since the fund has been operational, and even while we are building our systems and processes, we've managed to develop a strategy, identified priorities for disbursement for this immediate first week and the 3 weeks of the lockdown period. We're still in the process, of course, of further doing that, and While we don't have all the answers yet, and we'll work in a fluid and agile way, we're confident that we have built the systems and processes we need for good governance, for radical transparency, and to manage our processes efficiently. We encourage you to send any questions that you have via the webcast, and looking forward to answering them as best we can. Thank you.
Am I back on? Hello? Hi. Okay, so we're going to take questions now. I'm going to try to take questions, if you don't mind, just in some of the themes in which people are asking them. So we're going to start first. There's a few questions just asking about that are related to the kind of people who are the funds targeting. There are at the moment questions along that theme. We've got a question from, we've got two questions from Julia from Section 27. The first question is, will the fund support only civil society and not business? Julia's second question is, will donated funds be used to provide soft loans to SMMEs? We have a question from Godsend from Tswelanang Cultural Dancers. And the question is it true that only NGOs will be assisted with funding in the fight against COVID-19, excluding NPOs? So for that question, we will make clear that that question refers specifically to the government. And I'm going to ask Gloria if you want to deal with those three questions about the types of beneficiaries the fund is intending to target.
I think the main thing, just to clarify, the fund is meant to galvanize the resources and efforts to fight against the pandemic. And what that means is that the fund will be used to get to where it is most needed. And so if we buy health protective materials and so on, there's no NGO that's required in between unless it is a resource to get there. So the fund is not going to fund SMMEs specifically or NGOs, but as part of these three areas that we have mentioned, the healthcare, the solidarity campaigns, the all those areas of focus, the fund will crowd in all manner of resources to make it work. It may be NGOs then, but the fund itself is not meant to come and fund NGOs. It is meant to fight against the COVID-19. And the ultimate person who must benefit from this is the person who needs to be protected or at least supported from this pandemic.
Tumi, can I add to what Gloria has just said?
Yeah, please go ahead, Eddie.
I mean, just firstly, a correction just on Nicola's input. I think there was a mistake. She mentioned 5,000 masks. She meant to say 5 million masks. Just to make sure that we've got that accurately reflected. So, I mean, the PPE procurement, is a very significant procurement. I mean, in relation to the application of funds, I mean, I think that, the question for the Solidarity Fund is the three areas that we are currently focused on being the health response, the solidarity campaign and the humanitarian effort is, what are the best mechanisms for dispersing funding to have the greatest possible impact in those areas. And, I would add that I think a huge contribution that the fund can make is not just in the disbursement of funds, but is also in the way that we inspire and mobilize, citizens, communities, organizations, companies, civil society organizations in this national effort, to contribute, resources that are going to be far more significant and the resources of the fund. Just lastly, in relation to the SMMEs, because I think there's been some confusion about this in the media. As Gloria says, our direct focus is not to provide and support SMMEs. There's an initiative between Business South Africa, Business for South Africa, and the Command Council to try to come up with support measures and packages with governments to support SMMEs, but the fund is not in a position to provide soft loans or support to SMMEs. The Oppenheimer and Rupert initiatives that have been well publicized are initiatives that are best seen to be responses to the call for national solidarity and the call for South Africans to unite to respond to the both the health and the social and the economic crises that we're facing. And those two initiatives are designed within the broad ambit of the Solidarity Fund to respond to supporting those people whose lives have been affected. And in their case, specifically, employees of distressed small and medium-sized businesses. But I think that those initiatives are best seen under the broad umbrella and as a solidarity response. They're not funds that are directly under the control of the Solidarity Fund. And there will be more and more of those kinds of responses. And I think, we are encouraging, as a Solidarity Fund, we're encouraging organizations, individuals, communities to respond in that way, as part of this national solidarity effort. And it's kind of, very encouraging to see that happening.
Okay, great. Thanks, AD. There are a few questions that are all within the same theme that speak to the size of the funds that have, the size of contributions, and how the funds will be dispersed. So I'm going to take those. Quite a few of these are the same, so I'll be able to answer them. So Tolani from Newsroom Africa asks, will the proceeds be spent, and what is the total amount raised so far? Suren from MoneyWeb asks, how much money has been raised so far from business? Londiwe Butelezi also asks, how much has been raised from business so far? Liesl Piper from Media 24 asks the question about how much has been pledged since the establishment of the fund. And Sasha Plotting from Business Maverick has also asked, has more than 100 been raised to date, or is this just the first commitment? So if we can just take, those are really all the same question. Gloria, are you happy to just answer the question about how much has been raised so far, and there's a particular aspect as well about how much is generated from business specifically?
We're quite encouraged that hardly a week the fund is in place. We have over 500 million rand, and that is a combination of corporates and the contribution from government, and most exciting, individuals who have given their own money, their own family money. And as you say, it is a week now, and that is the amount that is already there. The intention here is not to accumulate the fund so much, because it must work. We're not quite excited about that we've collected and kept, and the money must work. It must work appropriately. It must go to where it should go. But as I hope I've answered the question, we have just over 500 million rand at this point, and it is a week in operation.
I don't think we need to add on to that. I think we're all happy with that, unless somebody wants to ask. There are a few follow-up questions to Nicholas and about the initial disbursement. We have a question from Terence Creamer. Besides the masks, what are the other immediate PPE supply gaps, and how will the fund be responding on food and SME support? We have a question from Sasha Planting that says, you have made the first priority PPEs. What is the next priority? We have a question from Mbali, these are from Section 27. It's not broadly in that theme. With regard to testing capacity, will the fund focus on that? So it's still part of this priority, particularly for community health workers on the ground. So if we can just take those questions that talk to the immediate actions and that are a follow-up to the focus of the funding.
Thank you. So certainly within PPE, it's not just masks, but they will also include gloves and other protective clothing in this first round. We are obviously taking our cue from the extensive, national efforts and the experts working on what is required, and also making sure that our contribution to supporting the health system is appropriate in respect of, what government itself is doing and needs to do, what the private sector is doing and needs to do, and we're, we really are playing an important, just an augmentation and catalytic a role where that's needed in respect of PPE and support to the health system. So in this instance, emergency funding that allows these goods to be purchased and made available to the public sector and community health workers, while the larger procurement processes within the state and private sector play out, which will take longer. In terms of what other forms of goods and support are required, certainly there is discussion about testing, about ventilators, but again, I think that we haven't received these specific proposals or requests, and would be judging the appropriateness of those to the Solidarity Fund in particular as they arise. I think that in terms of other priority areas that have been identified, and not just on the health pillar. I think in respect, I mean, the urgent requirement is to ensure that we flatten the curve and that we both encourage, motivate, inspire South Africans to stay at home during this lockdown, as well as support and be able as quickly as possible to identify support that is required by vulnerable families, households and or communities that are really experiencing negative impact from the lockdown period itself. We have been mobilizing, trying to understand what is required, particularly in the area of food, given that the school feeding system, has been disrupted, particularly, and are in discussion with various forms of civil society, as well as those leading the national efforts, to understand where the most important priorities are. And bearing in mind that, we really need to work on 24-hour and weekly cycles. This is about being highly responsive, highly agile, and trying to make the best possible decisions about prioritization in prioritizing effort focus and resources. We're also not only focusing on what we directly fund through the Solidarity Fund, but really on the role that we can play in coordinating efforts and better orchestrating the resources and the efforts across the private sector, civil society, and government. And we've increasingly seen the role that we can play in that regard.
Nicola, if I could ask you to deal with a question. There's a question from Chris Bishop from CNBC Africa. He asks, many of these masks have been made in China and have been recalled because they are defective. and they have been recalled because they are not effective. Does this not worry you? So if we could just address that with regard to the masks that we are procuring.
Yes, thank you. We are absolutely aware of this issue, and our
team member, Jonathan Brimberg, who has been leading this process for the Solidarity Fund, is ensuring, together with the colleagues in Business South Africa, the Department of Health, that the utmost diligence is exercised in ensuring that the masks that will be purchased will be of the correct specs and that we will acquire those from a reputable Chinese manufacturer.
I just wanted to add there, too, that any country does have required standards for any product. And so we also will be making sure, and we've got qualified professionals to do this, that the products that are sourced are of the required standards, and they have the country seals in them. Because even if you were sourcing them from South Africa, we would have to do that as well.
Thank you, Gloria. I'm going to take three questions that go back to just how the fund is going to assist. There is a question from Javi Sile from Media 24 asking, hi, will the fund cater for the vulnerable poor households? How is that money going to be distributed to these homes? There is a question from Carmen Davids from the 9 Miles Project. Carmen asks, reputable and registered NPOs are the easiest and most effective means to distribute aid to the most vulnerable because they're already active on the ground. Allocating some funding, which community-based organizations could access, would go a long way to stemming a rise in hunger and health issues and resulting social issues. Not quite a question, but you have it there if you could just choose to address that. There is a question about how will small business be access funding from Melita from MoneyWeb. I think that question of small businesses has already been answered. There is a question from Glenn from BFASA. I don't quite know what BFASA stands for. Ah, it is the Black Farmers Association. Glenn from the Black Farmers Association asks, what support is there for South Africa's small farmers? And if we can take those for now. Hello?
Yes.
Yeah.
Eddie, are you answering that question?
Okay, I'm happy to begin. I mean, in relation to how the funds get allocated to, I mean, to deal with those questions kind of more broadly. I mean, I think the we're looking in each of our three areas, our three focus areas of the health response, the solidarity campaign, and the humanitarian effort to see where the best application, you know, to the point that Nicola made earlier, we're going to have to try and be as responsive as we can, but also to try and be as catalytic and to leverage our funds. I think it's important to recognize that the total funds that are going to be collected by the Solidarity Fund are going to be a small proportion of the total funds that are mobilized by governments in relation to responding to this crisis. And so we want to make sure that when we apply funds, we apply those funds with the maximum possible impact and try to leverage the impact that we have. So if I can give you an example of that, if we look at issues like food security, I mean, obviously the funds that we are mobilizing are not in any way going to suffice in relation to dealing with the issue of hunger and food security. And so, you know, we need to think about, and I think there was also a question in relation to you know, how we work across society, but we need to try and mobilize businesses, the big food companies, you know, businesses with big distribution channels, try and mobilize the resources that sit there to help in that effort. And obviously also working very closely with, you know, with civil society as the points we made. So I think one of the roles that we've got to play is not just allocating funding that we have, but how can we focus national campaigns where we can mobilize community-based organizations, businesses, you know, a variety of different kind of groupings and individuals around executing kind of large-scale impact and delivery. So, but absolutely that, you know, our efforts, not just our funding, our efforts need to be targeted in relation to the humanitarian effort, need to be targeted at the most vulnerable families in society. I mean, just to deal with the question, I see it came up again in relation to SMMEs. The fund doesn't have the capacity to support SMMEs. So our funding currently, the money that's come into the fund is not going to be directed at supporting SMMEs. We're looking to Business for South Africa and to government to respond to the urge. I mean, we recognize the need, the urgent need to respond to SMMEs that are distressed. But that is something that we don't see that our funding can we have the capacity in the Solidarity Fund currently to respond to that. But we do recognize it as an absolutely critical and urgent issue that does need to be addressed. I think that I hope covers most of those questions.
There are a number of questions that deal with governance. I'm going to take those questions and allow you, Gloria, to just deal with those questions. The first question is from Hilary Joffe from Business Times. Hilary's question is, what has delayed the appointment of the board and what will be its composition? There is another question on governance.
Are those the two?
I've lost how. The second question is, how will you assure that the funds are spent appropriately? That's from Liesl at News 24. Those are the two, if we can answer those two.
I guess on the first one about the delay in the board appointment, the fund is a week old. So, Hilary, I would say no, there's no delay in the appointment of the board. It's not like we've been here 6 months and there's no board appointments. We will be in a position to announce the board members very soon, but at least this is a week now, so I wouldn't call that a delay. And we think that it is a board that this country will be excited to see, because it's a combination of all these things that we're talking about, the skills on audit, the skills on financing, the skills on working with the civil society, the skills on working with the social partners, everything. It will be a combined board that makes sense to all of South Africans. And we do not feel that is delayed. On the second point about how do we make sure that we're spending appropriately, we have also mentioned that already we have with us Ernst & Young and Edward Nathan with a governance framework in there to make sure that we're staying on the right lane. The second point is that we have a board which will have its own committees to make sure that these things are following the right channels and appropriate spend. We are also keen to say the kind of board we will appoint is one where we should not be held up in board discussions. There is a need for us to be agile and doing things quick and the flexibility, but governance is everything, and this radical transparency is very important to us in terms of where the money comes from and in terms of the money, where it went to. So the spend will be very clear to everybody. We will report as frequent as we possibly can to make sure that there is nothing not transparent there. And the frameworks and institutional arrangements are already in place to do that.
There was a question from Julie about what transparency approvals process will they implement, which I think you also are covering there, Julia. There are a couple of questions around clarity regarding some of the announcements that have been made. And I know you've touched on this, just for the purpose of clarity, I'm going to ask us to just address this issue again, because there are three questions on this. So the first question is from Kolani from Newsroom Africa. And Colin asked, for clarity purposes, the 2 billion pledged by the Rupen and Oppenheimer families to support small business, Is it not for the Solidarity Fund? That's a question from Kolani. Londiwe Buthelezi from FIN24 asks, you mentioned that the Rupert and Opana families' contributions aren't administered by the fund, but they are also within the ambit of showing the same solidarity. Are you working with them to flesh out priorities and to coordinate who will take what responsibility, or are they working independently and doing their own thing? If I could ask us to address those two questions, please.
Okay. Yeah, thank you. So it's correct. I mean, for clarity, the funds that are to be provided by the Rupert and the Oppenheimer families in response to the crisis are not going to be channeled through the Solidarity Fund. So those funds will not be received by the Solidarity Fund and so are not subject to our governance and oversight processes. As I mentioned earlier, those commitments were made as a solidarity, in solidarity. So I mean, they are a response to the call for solidarity and the call for contributions and commitments from individuals, companies, and others in society to meet the challenges that we face. And I think one of the things I think is important for this call is that we are hoping that the resources that get mobilized in terms of not just money, but money, time, resource, effort, the infrastructure that companies have is going to be many, many multiples of the money that we raise in the Solidarity Fund. So our ability to amplify the work that we need to do is going to come from the initiatives and the efforts and the resources that are applied to this by many people and organizations and companies in society. And so I think that the Oppenheimer and the Rupert efforts should be seen in the context of that. There are kind of responses to the solidarity, to the call for solidarity and the call to meet the challenges of the health crisis and the humanitarian crisis and the economic crisis that we face. In relation to input, I mean, we have had the opportunities to engage and to give input on where we think the greatest need is and how we think those funds might best be spent. So there is engagement, but ultimately, I think it's important to understand that the responsibility, accountability, and decision making about how those funds are spent, the Oppenheimer and the Rupert contributions is not going to be under the Solidarity Fund. It's not going to be subject to our decision-making processes, but we will seek to influence them in the way that we can to help to ensure that they're aligned to the national effort.
There are three final questions that I am going to send to you. They are questions of clarity in a fashion, and one is a follow-up question. A couple of more questions have come in, but let's take those three. Suren Naidu from MoneyWeb asks, surely South African manufacturers of masks should be prioritized to promote local economic development? If you note that question. There's a question from Linda van Tilburg from BizNews. Linda asks, is there any funding coming from overseas donors? There is a question from Nontsikelelo Mpulo from Section 27. Nontsikelelo asks, is the Solidarity Campaign a communications campaign then? I hope that we have addressed that question just by describing the activities, but if you could just nevertheless answer those three questions for me.
Should I ask the answer the South African masks?
Please do.
The most important thing is to get the masks because they are actually needed at a particular point in time. South Africa, if it does have locally made masks, it becomes natural to this Solidarity Fund to source those masks from South Africa. Not just for boosting the local economy. It is the speed at which the masks will get to where they are needed. So where you see us getting things from outside of South Africa, it definitely has to do with the lack of availability. I hope I've answered that question. Unless you want more clarity on that.
No, I think that's a good answer, Gloria.
Yes, and then on the issue of the overseas donors, the Solidarity Fund is looking for help from anywhere in the world, where you have international allies to South Africa who are just as concerned about what is happening here in South Africa. Overseas donations are pretty much welcome, and in fact, they are encouraged. Now, we have a week at this point, and it would be wonderful to come back and say we've got overseas donor ABC, but we encourage overseas donation to come in.
Chumelin, can I just reinforce the point about, you know, that the question about is this just a communications campaign? The you know, a huge part of our effort is going to be focused on the health response, which is not communications related. It's about what is the maximum, what is the opportunity for us to complement the national health response with the greatest impact, the greatest leverage that we can with the limited funds we have available. That's, you know, we've spoken about that, and obviously we've also spoken about the importance of us mobilizing and resourcing to the extent that we can the humanitarian effort and humanitarian response. And that could be across a range of things. We've spoken about food security. There's a question that was raised about gender-based violence. That's another critical humanitarian issue that we're looking at. We're not quite clear at this stage exactly how we're going to do that, but you know, that is very much kind of focusing our minds. I mean, in relation to the solidarity campaign, I think we shouldn't just see this as a communication campaign. The idea of this campaign is it's a call to action. So it's about not just how we as a solidarity fund mobilize a call to action, but how societies and communities and organizations also become part of that mobilization. We don't want to just see this as a kind of top-down communication process. We want to see this as how society mobilizes around the need for solidarity, around the need for action, how we all take responsibility as individuals, communities, organizations, and how we all act in the national effort to address the crisis. So I think it's important. This is not a kind of conventional, you know, normal top-down communication campaign. This is a national call to action, I think, is a better way of thinking of the solidarity campaign.